Reel 2 of 6 reels of Simon Sobolev.
Was a fine guy. He was my, what they call, we might say, would be servant-like. When I was officer of the Russian army, he was like that, a captain too. But he led to us, rose us to Ulyasovtai, that were there. From you got to 500 miles to this place here, you see. They are there, that Marco, they are there, see. So, here, see. And then I left him here. He was a well-to-do Russian man. And he got nothing, just to go into hunt game, like that, goats and like that and so on. So he's well treated. He got best job ever seen in your life, you see. Mm-hmm. Nothing to do. And they give us a what they call passport that to travel across Mongolia. You see that, that's how they get the horses, you know, to keep us going. When it comes to Yuga, here, back. And that was a consular Orlov that time, Tsar consul yet. He gives what they call a visa to go to Peking, China, to China, you see.
That was
Yuga.
Was a Chinese.
Well, this was not at the Chinese control, it was more or less like nobody's control, you see, that time. Yuga, you see. And what the devil is, yeah, here Yuga. Well, here Yuga, yeah. Here, yeah. So it was part Chinese, just Russian. Russian was tremendous influence at the time, so Chinese. Orlov was Russian consul, Tsar consul. By the way, the building that was Orlov occupied, Khrushchev sent a Molotov here, so give me a little job, they called that consul, you see. Mm-hmm. Right here, you see. Mm-hmm. So, well, he gave us a visa to go to Peking.
To go to Peking.
Peking,
now,
yeah.
Is this Peking?
Peking is here. We'll go here. Then. Across the Gobi, Peking. Here's Peking, now. Here's that road now.
So you got a passport to go from Mongolia
to China, Peking, China. Now, then we camel caravan. It was about 100 camel caravan. They loaded the raw materials, sheep, and the other materials.
And you loaded. Traveled with the camel caravan
across the desert Gobi, entire desert Gobi.
The Gobi Desert.
Desert Gobi,
it.
Yeah. We go all across there, see?
Yeah.
But I didn't ride the camel. It was my partner didn't, because they were not.
Did you walk or did you?
I walk. We walk here and we walk most of the time.
And there were about 100 camels?
Yeah, 100 camels. A guy who's Mongol, he got the camel like you see in the Geography magazine.
Yes.
Read it, you see. Same thing. They got hide, you know, that raw hide, wool and so on, packed in across the camel. But two humpbacks, you see. Not about
two
humps, but camel.
Okay, what did the camels carry? The hides?
Hide and wool.
And wool.
Yeah, pack. And go to Peking, then go to Shanghai and ship it to abroad someplace, you see.
I see.
Yeah.
But the camels just went from Yuga over
To
Mongolia, Mongolia to Peking.
Here was, they don't go to Peking, just about here.
Then there was a railroad.
Well, that's
Peking.
Right. Now here it is, just a moment. See the Kalgan? Kangan. See the Kalgan is from here.
The Kalgan?
Yeah. Should be, not too far. About 40 miles from Kangos, from Peking, not too far from Peking.
There's
The name is different, but they call it Kalgan, so that...
Well, here's K-A-N-G...
Well, that's the one, maybe, yeah.
Kang Pao.
Well, that's the one that maybe we call it, all maps you call it Kalgan.
Yeah.
And this was Russian guy, we stopped there, and then from that, Kalgan, that's the end of the desert Gobi, here. Then they take the train to go to Peking.
Okay, and then you got to Peking.
Peking, we stay there for a while, in Peking.
What did you do in Peking?
Oh, just look around.
Just see? A tourist?
Tourist, like that. There was a Russian ambassador.
Were there lots of Russians there?
No.
Just
there used to be in the past, it was regiment.
But at the time you were there,
Only military attaché, colonel.
Was this still 1921?
Yeah, that's right. And Duke, he is a Russian prince ambassador.
Mm-hmm.
That's all Tsar ambassador, not the Bolshevik, they are not, you see. So we stay there, they give us a little money, and they told us to go out to Peking. And Peking was close to what they call Great Chinese Wall.
Yes.
Yeah. And you go to Peking, when train come in, you go through the gate. See? And then we were in Peking a couple of days, and more, I think we say about a week in Peking, look around in the places, mm-hmm. you see. So, then from Peking, where we went to that Tenzin, China. See the Tenzin here? See Tenzin?
Tenzin,
yeah. I stayed there for a while.
Okay, now let's go back to Peking for a minute. When you were in Peking, they had, what did they use for transportation? Railroads and horses?
Well, most of that rickshaw, that Chinese, rickshaw Chinese, yeah. If you want a rickshaw, just like a
did they have bicycles then?
Well, I think only a few. But one guy, let's see, they had that also that like a jackass, that animal, donkey.
Donkey?
See? He got like you see sometime on TV, that was there too. Streets are very narrow. A matter of fact, in Peking, only one street, the whole embassy are. American embassy, Russian embassy, it's on the wide street. When I come to, we was in uniform, Russian uniform, yeah. He was captain, I was in lieutenant uniform. We went out to the, across the opposite to American embassy, was marrying there, they salute us. They had salute to, what they call foreign officers.
You were still a lieutenant?
Yeah.
And you were with a captain?
Yeah, yeah.
Or just two of you then?
Yeah, two of us, yeah. Oh, he was the other guy, was the captain. He's a writer, he's a good poet, very bright guy. If he was a Ukrainian, I am from the White Russian, they are there.
He's from Ukraine?
He's Ukrainian, that captain.
Mm-hmm.
But I was a war, almost like a citizen, like a region. Sometimes people talk to me, well, said he had a big Swedish accent. They call me Swede, you see? Yeah. But anyhow, so that Tenzin, I stayed in Tenzin for a while, about a week, about a month, work was there, with a Russian farm.
Farm?
He got the cat, a bull. He got the blood out of bulls and manufactured that what they call to send the Mongolia to inject cattle, get the disease from them, not to be diseased. You see, I forgot now what it is. So I worked for them, and I was like a Chinaman. I got picture at home, China and I together there. You see, go out to get the food for the bulls. Chinaman gets one time in the Rao. And start to fight with the long, you see, they get a little braid, but my Chinaman, he was very close to me. One time he got underneath the big Chinaman, so I got down, pick up the big Chinaman, put underneath, so put the little Chinaman on top of him, you see. Anyway, from Tianjin, China, I went to that, what they call now, Nanking, from Nanking to the
Nanking
Shanghai.
Here.
Yeah, Nanking,
Shanghai.
Shanghai. They shall stay 1 year in Shanghai, exactly.
1 year in
One year. And I know Shanghai very, very well. I can see sometimes picture, recognize it in picture. And then Shanghai was 1 year there, that's the...
What did you do for one whole year in Shanghai?
Well, nothing. They don't allow to, white men don't allow to do anything. You can't do work, only white men work.
How did you live?
Well, there was all kind of donations, the white people, Russian, Swede, Norwegian, Germans, every Americans. They open up for that kitchen in over like that. It's all that, you see. Don't worry, when that time, when white men go there, you don't have to be Russian. Anyone, if you got nothing to eat, they fix you, they help you.
Mm-hmm.
White men help you.
Where did you live?
Well, in the Russian church. Russian church, now they all destroyed already. No church anymore. Russian church, that's...
Well, did you have a bed to sleep on?
Oh, yes, I got bed. We got room, not as big as this, but two or three guys were sleeping in that room. Yeah, see? Mm-hmm.
Well, how many, were there quite a few Russians in Shanghai then? Oh,
yeah, quite a few Russians in Shanghai. Some of them in the, what they call, enlisted in the international brigade. They fought the Japanese, they caught them over there, maybe a couple thousand, they slaughtered them.
Mm-hmm.
Was
that's right, the different embassies had their own troops to
guard
the embassies.
There was that, they have that, the Russian troop was under support, English, whatever, I'm under Americans, you see. But, of course, I was already in this country. When Japanese, they fought, they... Caught them all, they just slaughtered.
What year was that, after you left?
Well, I was already,
By that time, you were in the United States.
Oh, yes, I was coming then. From Shanghai, after one whole year, we got the Canadian Empress of Asia. And I come on that boat.
Is that the name of the boat?
No, Canadian, yes.
Empress of Asia.
Empress of Asia. That Canadian boat, see? Empress of Asia.
Tell me a little bit about what you did in Shanghai that year. Did you just
have
to stay in one area?
Of course, I organized a little bit what they call Russian colony a little bit in the way to help them along. I'm some kind of more aggressive, guy. Some of them just don't dare do anything, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Just like you have in these Americans, some of them, you see.
Right.
I go out in the churches and so on, and they need the help. So they organized, finally I got what they call... get for them a special quota to stay too, you see, for Russians, you see.
For the Russians.
And there's Americans and English and so on, English especially, they help us.
Now, these were refugees?
Refugees, all like myself.
Yes.
They're just refugees, you see. Some of them pretty good size around, colonels and captains and so on, like that, and some other intellectual guys were refugees. And Russian American embassies help, Russian embassy help, French embassy help. At that time, Shanghai was a colony. French colony, English colony, Russian colony, German colony, so on. Have Tenzin, Zhenwei. Tenzin, very good one. You see, German colony, the best in Tenzin, China.
The German?
Yeah, they're very clean. Russian colony, and of course, English, and so on, like that. Shanghai, the same way. French was biggest one in Shanghai. You got the French concession, well, you were already under French rule, see? And so that you got to be careful there, you see. And at that time, when I talk about Chinese in Shanghai, Chinese are nothing but a slave. They were one of those, what they call, herdmen. They're getting about 15 cents an hour, or a day, poor guys, you see. Mm-hmm. They work like a slave. And they do what they're told to do, see.
But that year you were in Shanghai, you didn't work.
Oh, no, none of us Russian work.
So, what did you have to eat?
Well, it's furnished for us, everything.
You have plenty of meat?
Oh, yes, well, very good.
Rice, vegetables?
Yes. Well, yes, we got meat and so on, and we got nice big tables there, that's what they call it, dining room for refugees. Several places, you see, not one, several places. When I was in church, it was pretty good. Other guys are making the very things that gadgets, you see, maybe some guy, you see. Some they work, but very seldom. Because you can, they won't allow to work any kind of outdoor work, common labor. You have to be either someplace to push the pencil or something like that.
An executive or administrator.
That's right, the administrator, you see.
Mm-hmm.
You can't go out and just work like a... Yeah.
Were there families, refugee families, there too.
We got to for them. That was my part to fix up for them too, you know.
You organized
that quite a bit so they can stay separate.
So they'd have places to stay.
Yes, right. Yeah, mm-hmm. Organized for them, you see.
Did you live close to any of the Chinese? Were they in the Russian...
Oh, yeah, the Chinese right there. One of those Russian ministers, that Russian священник, they called that minister. Now, his assistant was Chinese, and those all Chinese all around. The Chinese, when I work in office at Shanghai, as a Russian office editor, they called the issue the magazine, I forgot now what name of the magazine was, you know. And so that the Chinese spoke good Russian, so he and I was pretty good friends. He invited me to his place, where in Shanghai they could live sisters and so on like that. Boy, the street are narrow, and the sanitation very poor, and they're all junk, like you see sometimes that. Hong Kong or some other places. Mm-hmm. Shanghai is built on swampy place, canals.
And they just throw the junk out in the street?
The junk, you see that float, that means like a boat.
Mm-hmm.
They were born, raised, and live all their lives on that junk. That's what they do, see? Very dirty, it's very dirty. They push Chinese go out, sometimes pick up the subject from the grub that the white men take it out. Dump, you see, someplace.
The Chinese go pick it up
and
eat it. Well, when you were in Shanghai that one year, did they allow you to go into the city or to walk around?
Oh, yes, yeah, I go any place you want.
Any place you want.
Yeah, you got to just, of course, behave yourselves, you see.
Of course.
Yeah. But the nice park was there, what they call that, the river there. Big river that they caused by the Shanghai, we emptied in the Pacific, you see.
Is it the Yangtze?
No, Yangtze is the other one.
The Yellow River?
No, I forgot now. I got to look it up. What the river is that? Yeah, but big river, you see. That the battleships come in there.
Yeah.
Destroyers, all Japanese, Americans, British. And we come in the park over there. And we sit down in the park and watch all this process, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Very, very interesting. Then I go out sometime right to the... It's very dense. How was it that it's hot and... Moist too much in the air, just suffocate you.
Huh? Human?
Human.
Hot and damp.
Yeah, hot and damp. So sometimes I go to that only 8 miles to the shore or the ocean, breezes, get rickshaw, get only 20 cents maybe, you know. And some of the church people over there, that's the reason I later tell something about that, so missionary. Now, I'm not against the missionary. I don't like them. They abuse Chinese, you know, they're... they have that missionary in China and many other parts of the world today too. They are right to preach our Christianity, which I am all right myself, Orthodox Church. But they got, you see, spoiled those missionaries. They get a rickshaw, get maybe novel book, go out and rickshaw dragging around and read the books, you see, like that. And the Chinese serve them. They spoil so rotten that they don't want to go back to the United States because they served there. You come here, well, they got to work. See?
But over there, the Chinese were almost like slaves.
Yeah,
like,
well, yes, you see? Well, you notice that even today, American army in Korea, in Germany, all, they are the big shots. They serve them over there.
Yes.
So that when they want to go back to over there to serve like in Japan.
Right.
My grandson, he was in Japan. He came from Japan. He was in Okinawa. I said, don't tell me about Japan. You had a shirt and you give a fortune to a girl. Is that? Yeah. Well, there you are.
Yeah.
They don't want to be here. Or they want to go in Japan, see? Or some other place.
Where they can get cheap help.
Help, anything you want.
Yeah.
Anything you want. Make money beside.
So you got your passport after you were in Shanghai for 1 year, and the passport was for the United States?
Yeah, the passport from Shandatik, Chinese commissar, he was in power there, of course, so he issued me to go to the United States, and of course, consul in the United States, a bunch of us, I'm not alone coming, about hundreds of us Russian coming.
Hundreds of you.
Yeah. And they check us, give a medical examination, put us on the boat, and the American consul, he did all that, see? And we were ready to go, Empress of Asia, and we were come to Vancouver, British Columbia, see?
And the Empress of Asia.
Yeah, yeah. That we stopped in Yokohama for a while, of course.
In Yokohama?
Well, we stopped in Yokohama for a while, you see, because that refueled, you see? And that was about, what they call Yokohama?
Fuji.
Fuji, yeah.
No, Fuji.
Yeah, that's it. It was all fortifications there, Japanese land. But Russian-Japanese war, you know, the fourth Japanese war. That,
yes.
You know, and some Russians, they come in and pray yet to that fleet was sunk not too far from that Japan, see. So we were going to go out there, and to that I was going to go and take a trip to Tokyo for Okinawa there, but we didn't go, see, but we go all the walk around there, right, you see. And Japanese, they pretty strict too, you see. Yeah,
well, the Japanese were moving into Manchuria at that time,
right. And from, of course, pretty soon from Seattle coming here,
you went to Vancouver, BC.
BC. Then,
and then you went from there into
Seattle.
Seattle. Now, was it a big group?
Well, we were a whole bunch of them. Mm-hmm. Because we were to designate our destiny to go to Seattle on United States land, not the British Columbia or anyone.
Your destiny
was to Seattle.
Seattle. So
yeah,
you
but
to
we can stop to, in Vancouver, BC. But from Seattle, a guy come in, American come in and process us, you know, take a look.
Yes.
And then we only stay maybe, we stay about 3-4 weeks at that was, I
at
think.
Vancouver?
Yeah, Vancouver. Then we go to Seattle. But the Canadians, they want us there too, but they weren't allowed to stay there. No, no.
So said,
you go to Seattle first, you want to go to Canada, you go ahead after that.
Yeah. So you got to Seattle then after about 1 month from
Vancouver. Well, yeah.
And your papers were in order?
All everything in order. I come to Seattle, other guy was me. He was later on University of Washington, anyway, graduate electrical engineer. But anyhow, we go to see and we got to rock in the pocket. Rock in the pocket, maybe you fight somebody again on the streets. Well, there's people, right? They smile to us, nobody bothers us, nothing, you see. So that was okay, you see, those, so the rocks out. And then I got the job.
You had rocks in your pocket?
Yeah.
So what for?
Fight, maybe Bolshevik. Yeah,
well,
we did know.
Did you think the Bolsheviks were over there too?
Yeah, that's right. And once you can tell about a Jewish family was with us and on the boat. The Jewish lady, she told us that you better, we had a uniform, Russian uniform, and some other stuff that we want to save just for more or less for a
souvenir,
you see. She said, you better take it out, she said, that it's American. America, our country, that's a Jewish country, said, no, they don't like you there. They're going to put you in jail for that. And we like the fool, you know, if we listened to her, we saw that in Russian. Yeah. But anyhow, that was not right.
When you got to Seattle, did you have any money or any
funds? Well, we had no money, very little, but we had enough money to
but
keep on
going. But you had enough money to eat?
But later on, we get the job.
Yeah, well, how long did it take you before you found a job?
Well, at that time, was lots of employment. I got fired in the logging camp, close to Shelton, Washington. So I was
Sheldon, Washington?
Yeah, that's a logging camp, since the logging company. I was with logging. Walk in the trees.
What's the name of the logging company?
Simpson Logging Company.
Simpson?
Yeah.
Simpson Logging Company.
Yeah, it's still there yet.
Yes.
Now the warehouse is a big outfit.
But you knew, you know, No English.
No English, but we come over at the employment office and then, yeah, all right. So what the guy, he knew two words, but no English. You had awful time, awful time.
Okay, how did you learn English?
Well, when I come to that logging camp, that foreman over there, he happened to be a very nice civil engineer. He's very nice, but I'm some kind of, like I said, aggressive in the table. I got another Russian guy with me. He was bashful. He don't want to ask nothing. Why don't you ask? Ask, say, what is, I learned, what is that name? What is his name? What is his name? I asked. Now I ask you, spoon and fork and all like that and so on, butter,
so you,
bread.
You learned the, yeah, learned the ask names?
To, yeah, yeah. And they asked me, they, but that guy, he could don't want to do, see, he go out, get up and pick up all this stuff and put in front of me. He see, yeah, yeah.
Did they, he learn to speak English?
Well, I learned quite a bit, but he, no, he didn't, but he was very ambitious, I guess. I'm just one a little bit, one that I love to learn. But he was just a mujik, he didn't have much, but not that, not the captain. Captain, he was
the over, captain came over with you?
He came, but he went to Los Angeles. See. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, he went first to the United States before mm-hmm. me.
I see. Yeah. Did you keep in contact?
Yeah, I had kept in contact with him. Not lately, but in the past I kept contact with mm-hmm. him. Now.
So you learned to speak English at
well,
the logging camp?
Yes, logging camp a little bit. And a foreman was a civil engineer, very nice person. He asked me to come in his office every evening. He put with me sometimes a couple hours to teach me how to pronounce the words and teach me how.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Every evening?
Every evening.
Very generous man.
Yeah, very generous man.
He liked you.
Well, because he knew I had a good schooling in Russia.
Yeah.
See? Much more than other ginks here.
And what was his name?
I forgot now his name. I used to know him, but let's see. What about his name now? I just knew his name very well. Because sometimes it comes to my mind, I forgot.
But maybe
you'll
think of it
yeah.
a little later.
Very
but
nice
he,
person.
He invited you to his office every night?
In his office in the logging camp. And he talked, she told me to come and sit down. And he had the book and he spelled for me and I spelling and something like that. So at least I learned to read quite a bit, English. Then when I come one time, I come to Tacoma, there was advertisement, recruiting office.
Recruiting
for army. I watched, you see. Like for this man come in, sergeant come. And he asked me, what are you doing? I said, just nothing. What nationality are you? Well, I'm Russian, I said. He spoke good Russian, just like just a good
the
Russian.
The recruiter spoke
yeah,
Russian?
Spoke good Russian. He was Polish, you see, descended. He spoke Russian. He said, come on, I talk to you, see? I went upstairs and he convinced me which is right to join the U.S. Army. That's where at that time I joined the U.S. Army here in Tacoma. And I was in Camp Lewis for 3 years in the U.S. Army. Headquarters service company, 6 engineers, you see.
Headquarters what?
Service company.
Headquarters service company.
6 engineers.
6 engineers.
Yeah. 3rd Division. So I see over there. That time when I got picture of all that stiff collar, yeah.
Were you weren't a lieutenant in
no,
that
no, army. Just Buck Private, that's
just
all.
Just Buck Private.
Buck Private, American Army, Buck Private, you see. Just Buck Private. And put us the cafe duty. I got lots of stuff.
Cafe duty?
Yeah, you see that kitchen police.
Did you peel potatoes?
Potatoes, everything.
Wash
the dishes in there, yeah. And that time was every week the new KP. And so of course, the punishment for the soldier too, put him in KP duty. But anyhow, another guy was with me, he's Caucasian. He's now in Tacoma. I did. He was joined the same time I did. Almost. And he couldn't talk English either, but he was a good sportsman. Good.
Where was he from?
Caucasian. See,
Caucasian?
Georgia.
Georgia.
Yeah.
Georgia.
Yeah, he was with that, you see.
Yeah.
He's Stalin the type of man, you see, that means the same as a Georgian, you see. Yeah. But he was with me, now. He was very aggressive too. Well, we had a first thing we had a fight with KP. Mess sergeant, he would say something to him. Another guy, like some American boy, say he said to him, he called you a bad name. Hey, he tried to. Teasing.
Oh, teasing.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, he did, yeah. So that guy that married his name, bang, right shot in the belly. So second, third, 3-4 days in the army, you see, he already got the committed crime. Knocked the sergeant on the floor, and he got lots of platter, plate, big plate on the floor. The sergeant fell down and broke all this place was there. Then he got up and went to see Captain Noyce. Captain Noyce, a wonderful man. I never forget his name, Captain Noyce. And he called, I didn't do nothing, but they call up both of us in the office over there, company commander. And of course we get interpreter there, Polish guy, he spoke Russian pretty good. And the sergeant was there, so he stood like a boy. We will not train, then we don't need to train in the army. We train whatever it is, like that, yeah. You know, never motion. And the captain, he sat at the table there, and he looked at us and smiled. He got mustache and smiled, look at us, you know, very interesting to see. Then he said, now, said, boys, you are good Russian soldiers. And I don't see, he told that interpreter, I cannot punish you because you don't know anything about our rules and regulations and law. But don't fight this next time. Anybody call you bad name, you come to see me. I fix him, he said, you see. And of course, that's all right, and you just go and behave yourself good, he said. We talk about face, salute, and go. And when you go out of the captain office, there was a soldier, hurrah, this is Simon and Mirlich. That guy, he said, the sergeant, he got bald out for because he called a bad name, that you see. Don't know how to behave himself. Then, not only that, he said, captain deducted out of his salary the cost of the place that he broke in it on the floor.
Well, did the sergeant really call him a bad name?
Well, I don't think so, but he didn't know anything. But the guy that was the American boy, he just tried to incite it. So to,
he tried to
in the,
promote,
promote it. Yeah. I don't think he called bad name. I don't know.
Did he get in trouble again?
No. They nobody trouble us anymore. No.
Yeah.
They stay away from us. But we were a mountain platoon cavalry too, you know. That if we had a,
you were what?
Mountain platoon, they call that.
Mountain?
Yeah, that mountain, like a cavalry almost.
Oh.
Each one like a battalion that, like, they had a mountain platoon at that time for communication, you see.
Mm-hmm.
In case of war, you have that communication. Now, of course, the motorcycles, all those, you see.
But were you. You were.
In Mountain
Platoon,
whole pack all the time, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I stayed three seasons there, 3 summers, 3 years in Camp Lewis, and I wanted to go someplace to school.
Well, had you been studying English or
studying English?
All the
right
time?
There, Catholic chaplain. He was our teacher in Camp Lewis. He not only asked Russian, but some Germans, some other one, Italians. He our teacher said, very, very well, I'd like to tell some story, an interesting one. And of course, he spelled that, you know, on the blackboard, and we pronounced the words. So one or two times, just one of them had spoke a little bit already. The other guy, he didn't speak anything. And of course, he asked to spell him, he spelled that, his Italian partner.
Uh-huh.
And he called him, they laughed at him. And he said, don't laugh at me, you SOB. But he knew that how to say that.
The priest said that?
No, that's the Italian guy.
The Italian.
Yeah. He calls another Italian.
Yeah.
See? Because like with two Italians, he's together. And he was priest over there to ask him to spell. One Italian, he spoke a few words. Another, he didn't speak at all. And he misspelled that word, that guy that who spoke a little bit English. And the other guy laughed. And if we laugh, I said, you said, shut up, you so-and-so, you see that? And Catholic priest came to laugh, and he went outside and pick up his belly and laugh, and why, before you come. He knew that how to say SOB, though, you see?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know. So we got schooling at the Camp Lewis, but ministers, the teacher taught us English, priests and ministers, you see?
But then you, after 3 years in the army at Fort Lewis, you wanted to go to
that's right.
Get
I
some
had,
more education.
Yeah, well, they got my officers all helped me. Major was there, company, battalion, and so on. Then sent me to Oregon State as an instructor, military science, military training, see?
Mm-hmm.
Because we had Russian, like I myself was, because they didn't have to train us. Only one day or two in the freshmen that put us right in soldier rank.
So your boot camp was only about 2 or 3 days?
Today, that's all. We trained just as good at Russian army, a little bit different, but the same, about
yes.
The same,
mm-hmm.
See? Yeah, so
and so you say it was a major at Fort Lewis who
yeah,
got
major
you
was
a
promoted
job
me, yes.
Instructing
yeah,
military
yeah,
science?
Yes.
At Oregon State University?
Well, he recommended me to go there, to go, see? And that officers in Camp Lewis, he was a battalion commander, and also an older officer was for me to put me somewhere else, any school that don't have to be Oregon State, other colleges, with the ROTC training school. Oregon State happened to be one, very good one. So they sent me over there to be an instructor. Like, well, I come, there are already quite a few 8 or 10 other soldiers to be instructors too.
Well, by this time, were you an American citizen?
Not yet.
Not yet?
No, no. That was in 19... let's see. I went to 1920... I think in 1927 I went to that. 26, 27 to the Camp Lewis. I mean the Oregon State. 1927, like that. See?
The school year of 1926-27.
Yeah. When I
you
come
went
in,
to Oregon State.
Oregon State as an instructor. When I came in there, Colonel Moses, he was the one, the guy that he was to take care of me. I said, I put you on the night duty, the horse barn that you remember I told you. Well, that's the one. Then I took regular course in mine engineering. You see, I had already rocket school. As a matter of fact, they give me 16 credits, college credits in this country.
Okay, so it was Colonel Moses at...
Colonel Moses.
He was at Oregon State?
Oh, he was a commandant at that time.
Of ROTC?
Yeah, ROTC, yeah.
Okay, and he put you on night duty,
night duty,
then
yeah.
You were free to take classes.
Free to take class out, yeah, see?
In the daytime.
Daytime, yes. Regular,
and,
yeah.
Because of your prior training, they gave you 16...
Yeah,
credits.
Well, training, that military training, that's a credit giving so much already, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And so that that was help. Then I took, of course, in mining engineering course, and later on, Moses was out, my first 3 years, then I re-enlisted again for next 3 years, because I want to finish the college, you see. So that I stayed there at the Oregon State altogether about 5 years.
Okay, so...
I took all winter time and summer time. I took school too, summer time also.
Let's see. You said... I was looking at something you wrote earlier. You said you had two honorable discharges.
That's right.
The first was March 12, 1927.
Mm-hmm.
And the second one was March 10, 1930.
There was going to want me to stay there, but I didn't. Well, at that time,